It's good to see all of you here. Blessed Easter, blessed Resurrection Sunday. I was listening to Hannah saying to you all to creatively wish each other, and I was looking at you. I'm very sad to report there's not much creativeness here. but so is the season, and with all this COVID. So we are here to continue to look into God's Word. We continue to reflect on the theme of this Easter. It's about coming to Jesus Christ through the cross, through what He has done, to put our faith on Him rather on who we are and what we have achieved. So that is the focus of this Easter meditation. And today we're going to look at the road to Emmaus, the key verse being, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him." Let's commit this time to God in prayer before we hear the preaching of the Word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your presence here. We want to thank You that we can fall on our knees before You, because it's Your blood that has purchased, Lord, our redemption. We can come before You. And so we pray that by faith we will come, Lord, into Your presence, into Your love, into Your goodness. We want to commit this time into Your hands. We pray that You speak to us through Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the scripture text is taken from the book of Luke. And a little bit of background. As you read the text from the Gospels, you have to realize that when the evangelists, when the Gospel writers wrote it, there were two things they had in mind. First of all, they were led by the Holy Spirit. These words are God's Word, and it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the other thing, there is multiple conversations taking place as they write the Word. And yes, they want to report to us what happened to Jesus Christ, who He is, and through the Word revealed to us the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, the message also spoke to an early church that was struggling through much persecution and difficulty and challenges in their time. You know, they went and preached the Word. They were persecuted by the Jews and later the Romans, and things were difficult and hard. But this message was written so that God would be present in their lives, that the power of the Holy Spirit would minister to them and lead them through. So when we read the text, we have to read it from that context, simply because the message is for us. We have to ask ourselves, what is God saying to us in regards to His resurrection? I'm sure many of us have attended many Easter services throughout our lives. And sometimes the message can be jaded. Sometimes the significance of the message is lost in our life. And it is so important, simply because, you know, when things go down and we are feeling heavy laden and burdened, it is the resurrection message that can give us power and light and hope in our hearts. So as you hear the text, keep in mind, you know, how we should approach it based on scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, the text is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 till 35. From verse 13, "Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, okay, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that has happened there in these days?' 'What things?' He asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. So this is an amazing story. It's written in an amazing way for us to journey along these two people on the road to Emmaus. And the context of the story is it happened on the resurrection day. And you can see these two was walking, discussing about what had happened on Good Friday, okay, on the day Jesus was crucified. So what's interesting about the story is the way Jesus walks with them and joins them. It's just, you know, the resurrection had just taken place. And then there is these two people who is unknown to us. They are not one of the disciples. They were followers of Jesus Christ, we can presume. And they were walking and they were talking about Jesus Christ. And as we reflect on what had happened on the day of Jesus' crucifixion, there was a lot to take in, okay? If you look at the chronology of events, Jesus came into Jerusalem with the people crying out, "Hosanna," worshiping him. And there was so much hope, there was so much light. And within the hearts of the people, you know, there would echo the visions of redemption, of Israel being saved. But sadly, within 1 week, he was arrested, he was beaten, he was killed, and he was crucified. That's the most horrific death that we can ever imagine, on a cross. And the cross is designed to show the rest of the world the power of the Roman Empire. It is a horrible picture of what they would do to anyone who would come against them, who would oppose them. And they saw Jesus hang on a cross helplessly. And, you know, with so much dreams and hopes dashed, they were walking, they were discussing, "Why is all this about?" You know, at one side, so many good things. On the other side, this horrible thing. And they were puzzled. And what's interesting is, you know, Jesus knew what was happening. The omniscience, that God knows everything, that God knows our thoughts, is displayed in a way that is so meaningful that in such a discussion, Jesus walks up with them and talks with them. And that's who Jesus is and how he knows our heart and how he enters our life to speak to us, you know, concerning the struggles and the difficulties that we have concerning him. What it clearly shows about the story of the resurrection is that Jesus is present with his people and he comes and he's with them. Okay. And if you, sorry, I don't know why, okay. So I mean, this is a diagram about a journey, the road to Emmaus, the road to discovery, to truth, to revelation. So what's very interesting is, for example, okay, I mean, if I say to you, Jesus rose from the dead, you would agree with me, okay? I hope all of you would. And that would be something that you put your faith on. But again, you know, just to agree to that point, to say yes, and to truly understand what that means, and to truly understand it in a way which leads you to the life that Christ has promised, is a very different journey. Okay? And that journey has to be taken steps by step. You know, God would say, and God would reveal one thing after another. It's only when we continue to look to Him and walk with Him, these truths become real to us. These truths enter our hearts and starts transforming our lives. And you can see that happening even in this story, how Jesus comes to them. He comes to them as a perfect stranger. Okay? And He enters a discussion about Himself, which is kind of funny, all right? You know, and He asked them, what are you talking about? Actually, we are talking about you, but we don't know it's you, okay? But it's you, all right? And Jesus speaks to them. And the thing also about revelation is sometimes we do encounter the glory of God, and God comes to us in a powerful way, and His presence touches our hearts. And that does something in our lives. But there are many times where God would hide that in order to allow us to speak, you know, what's really troubling our hearts. To unravel the things that we carry within. To break down the questions, to help us with our grief, our sadness, our desperation, whatever it is, Jesus wants to enter into a conversation with us. And therefore, you know, He doesn't overwhelm us with His glory, but rather He speaks to us in close proximity to our hearts, in order to draw those challenges out of us. And one of the key points in the sermon is, this is what Jesus is doing till this very present day, till He comes again. And what I would like to encourage you to do is not miss out on this. Okay? You know, be aware of His presence, who walks with you and engages you to speak to Him. Okay, Jesus wants us to take on that journey. Okay. So the discussion, okay, the mood of the discussion was somber. They were downcast. And when Jesus asked them, you know, what are you talking about? They were sarcastic to Jesus, okay, Cleopas. And they looked at Him and said, are you the only person who doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem? Okay, and that's... that's sarcasm, you know. I mean, it's funny. They are telling the only person who knows everything that he is the only person that doesn't know everything. All right? Do we say that to Jesus? Yes, I guess we do at times. Okay? We speak to Him as if He doesn't know what's really happening in our lives. Okay? But this is the grace of Jesus. He enters the conversation. Okay, but the fact is, did they really know what had happened to Jesus? And this is where Jesus invites them, you know, to speak and share their own thoughts about Him, right? So what they knew about Jesus, they said, okay, He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, okay? And that is very true, because of Jesus came and His preaching and the mighty works that He did, miracles He did, really stirred the hearts of the people. And because of that, there was the triumphant entry of Jesus. You know, many people were excited about the prospects. But that whole picture was dashed, you know, when the chief priests and our rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified Him. Okay? And they were saying, we had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They had seen, okay, and after that, you know, there was another story where, you know, the women had seen a vision of angels tell them that Jesus was alive. But again, we didn't see Jesus and we don't know what this means. All right? And I'd like you to think about that sentence, you know, to reflect. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Have you ever come to that place? You know, sometimes that you are so disappointed and challenged in life and you were thinking, you know, only if Jesus was the one that could actually help me in this situation. All right? And you begin to question, you know, your faith and what's happening. So there's sorrow, there's disappointment, and there's bewilderment, you know, in their eyes as they looked at Jesus. Okay? So what could Jesus do at this time? All right? And this would be the best time for him to reveal himself and say, ta-da, it's me. Okay? You know, and wow, change the whole mood of the discussion and say, yes, you know, oh, Jesus, you're alive. And no, yes, you know, and get into it. All right? But what Jesus says instead, okay, how foolish you are. Okay? And how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then Jesus conducted a Bible study lessons, okay, which we have in our church every Wednesday before the prayer meeting. All right? And this is so important. And you must ask yourself why, you know, why did he have to point them to the scriptures? And why was this important for them to know what was happening? Okay? And if you think about it, Jesus wanted them to know the whole story, okay? You know, Jesus began to talk about what was promised in the past, the prophecies that have been spoken concerning him, the covenant that God has made with his people, and all of it pointing to the cross and the resurrection and the future hope and glory, okay? So this is the thing, you know, that is so important and why we should read our Bible. For the very same reason, as I said, you know, when you speak of a truth, when I say Jesus is Lord, and when you all say Jesus is Lord, you know, then you may ask, why should I believe him? And why should I do this? And why should I do that? And how should I believe in him? And all these hundreds of questions come with that statement. Only the Word of God can help you sort out those questions and bring meaning to that statement, Jesus is Lord. Simply because if you use that word in a very narrow sense, you know, or in a very negative sense, like he's some kind of despot or and someone who's trying to control my life, you know what your faith would look like, okay? And there would be so much mess in the way you perceive God and understand him. But unless the word speaks to you, and unless you know who truly Jesus is, and unless you know, that this whole story and journey to the cross was an incredible journey of brokenness, of failure, of sinfulness of humanity, and God's persistence in wanting to save us and bring us back to him. It's what we heard on Friday. And it speaks so much about the heart of God. And that's why Jesus led them to the word. Don't use terms in a simple, simplistic way, but to understand God for who he is. And Jesus began to explain to them that he's not a prophet, but he's a Messiah. He did come to save us. His suffering and death had brought redemption. This was God's plan from the beginning. The cross was God's plans. And Jesus takes them through the scriptures to show them God's amazing plan. Okay. Sorry. And we see this happening. And that's the journey that God invites us to understand. And one of the key things about this, okay, because they could not understand the cross, all right? They thought it's not only they didn't know Jesus rose again. They could not understand where the cross fits in the whole story of salvation. And Jesus begins to reveal that to them. And one of the key struggles of Christians today is they don't understand where the cross fits in life. Why the cross? Why God had to embrace that life? Why did he have to lay down and why he invites us to do the same? What is this whole thing about suffering? You know, where it leads to, and what's God's role in all of this? How does this bring meaning and purpose in a world that is broken and estranged from God? And what we know, in the many times that we've come before God, we realize that the cross is central. It is there we discover forgiveness. It's there we discover hope. It is there our pride is put to death. It is there where we are dead to ourselves and we embrace the life that comes through Jesus. It is there we discover the heart of Jesus, which Jesus mentions once in the gospel. And once he tells them, when he invites them, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. You know, and he tells them, I am gentle and lowly of heart. And there's a great depth of love and humility and God's love displayed on the cross. And they had to hear the whole story and see it in the Gospels. Okay, and that's why the scriptures. So, it can't be simplistic. Yes, simple in the sense that we should understand. Okay, we can't simply say, you know, it has to be, it has to be accurate, but accuracy is not the key thing. All right, it has to be truthful. But all the stories and the Word of God is not to help us learn, understand, and know things in our head. Its design is to usher us into a relationship with God. And church, I do want to say this, you know, one of the sad things about Christianity today is that relationship is neglected. With today's information age, you can go and find out whatever you want on the net. You can listen to the most intellectual debates in regards to the many questions about believing in God and so forth. But that's not the point. Jesus came so he could build a relationship with you. He walked with these two people because their relationship mattered to him. And he invites people to have a relationship with him. And that's the point of Revelation. It is not some quick fix. It is not to give us some enlightenment of the mind. It is not to just move us into mental ascent, you know, where we say, yes, this is true. But it must move us to a place where we experience the presence of God in our life. And I would say it is so hard to be a Christian if he is not alive to us. If he is not the one we are speaking with. It is so hard to speak about anything about God. In fact, I mean, it's so difficult for me to come up here and preach something which I'm not experiencing. I can't pretend. But it's hard. It's hard to encourage somebody who's going through difficulty if I've not known the Lord as one who comforts me. It is so hard to tell people to change if I have not experienced the way God has transformed my life. You know, these things are so important. And what Jesus is pointing out is that relationship. We must enter into a relationship with our God. Okay. And Jesus makes it a point to say that that relationship can only be, known to us when we begin to look at the Word of God, okay? And through the Word, that relationship is revealed to us. And what's interesting is that Word tells us how that relationship looks like. And this is what John writes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Okay, of course, he walked with the living Jesus Christ, the flesh and blood. And he says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen in our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son and Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And John expresses his relationship with Christ in such intimate terms: touch, seen, and behold. And he says, you know, that as we enter Christ, we enter such a fellowship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. And it's interesting, you know, sometimes we have come to a point where we would describe our relationship with Christ as something very vague, okay, you know, something very mystical, but not someone whom we really know, whose heart we have touched, whose embrace we have experienced. But God wants us to have such a relationship with him. You know, we may express our relationship with the Lord of work, doing. Or perhaps we may run away from God and his presence. But when Jesus invites, come and come to him and have relationship, as we heard Friday, he's granting us access close to him, to know him, to know his heart, to know his love, to know how he thinks, and engage us in a conversation to know who he is. And as you look to God and you seek him, that's what you're going to find. God is going to come to you in such a powerful way that it will change your life forever. And the other thing that was important, that Jesus reminded, you know, and showed us that if we look at the whole scriptures, all the promises of God, from the seed that God had promised to Adam and Eve, the promise to Abraham, you know, the law fulfilled in Jesus Christ, you know, the proclamation of deliverance, the suffering servant, the Son of Man, you know, and the rejected stone that be exalted, and hundreds of more things. As you meditate on these things, as you prayerfully look at all these things, the conversations, your understanding of who Christ is, the intimacy that you enter, knowing how amazing and good your God is, will truly transform your lives. Okay? Will truly transform your lives. So you find that Jesus, through the Bible study, through teaching them, he moved them from a place of ignorance to understanding. They could not see Jesus. They did not understand what took place. They could not see Christ in the scriptures. They did not understand that the cross was the plan. Okay, they did not know what to believe. And we too face the same struggles in our life. And we need Jesus to speak to us through his word. We need to draw, you know, from the word of God in order to build our faith. In the same way, Jesus moved them from a place of hopelessness to hope. You know, to them, Jesus was a great prophet that was killed. Okay, and they said, we thought that he would redeem Israel. But he told them all that happened has meaning, has purpose. And this suffering will end with glorification. And Jesus has redeemed us through his suffering. Okay, and as you come to that place, you come to be saved. So, the Word of God helps us to understand truth. The Word of God dispels confusion and unbelief. The Word comes to us with resurrection power and life. Okay, and it says here, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Through the Word of God, we encounter the risen God. Okay, and then what happens later is pretty interesting. You know, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they strongly urged him to stay. And because they did so, you know, they had this meal with him. And when he broke bread, he was revealed to them and everything fell in place. Okay. They said, stay with us. All right. Okay. And, you know, John 15 says, abide with me. I think this is another challenge and a huge problem during our time. Okay, we are so distracted. We have prioritized a lot of things in our life. We don't know how to stay and reflect on the things of God. We don't train ourselves to do so. We don't stir our faith to do so. We don't wait. Let me give you an example, okay? As a pastor, I have spoken to many people, and one of the things that happen that is part of the ministry is to talk to people when they are going through so much difficulty. And I've spoken to some people who have gone through terrible trials and abuse, you name it, okay? Things has happened. Okay. And when you hear the stories, it breaks your heart. And sometimes it pushes you to a point where you can feel pretty depressed, you know, and heavy about the whole situation and what had taken place. Perhaps the loss or the abuse, and it weighs so heavily upon you. But the one thing that keeps my heart filled with hope is the simple practice of just sitting and thinking about the love of Christ. To a point where I experience it in my own life. The habit of listening to testimonies and stories of people who encounter the love of Christ in their dark days. And because of that confidence, you know, I'm able to have that discussion with them and believe that the love of Christ will be present and He will heal them and He will help them. And God does amazing things in such situations. All right? And that's what is needed. The time to meditate, to wait, to say, Jesus, stay. Stay. When you spoke to us, it mattered to us. All right, and I, of course, all of you have experienced that point. Amazing testimony, a vision, you know, a word that God has revealed to you. You're so touched by it. But you have to move to the next step and say, Jesus, stay. I want to grow. I want to know more. I want to know more of your love. And because they did this, you know, it says here in Scripture, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave them, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were open and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight and they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So now everything makes sense. They can see Jesus, they can experience him, but more than that, they understand everything concerning him. Okay, and church, that's how we need to see Christ. Let's not make this our whole relationship with God so simple, so much about us, until we forget that He has invited us to know Him as much as He knows us. Let us understand that, you know, many times it is understanding of the Word that can give us the necessary breakthrough. And I can say this very confidently because I've seen this happen in the lives of people. Many Christians just muddling along, and I've shared this. You know, one of the key reasons that why we planted this church is because we see so many Christians for 10 years, for 15 years, the same anger, the same grief, the same bondage, you know, and spiraling downwards. And we see them, you know, when they are young, they come and serve in church, they do a lot of things. Then eventually when, you know, life gets too heavy, they start getting lesser. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. They stay away from Bible studies. They stay away from prayer meetings. They stay away from this. They're all consumed about themselves. Where is Jesus in that story? You may say, you know, God doesn't understand or you don't understand what I'm going through. But where is the resurrected Lord who overcame death in that story? And that's what happens. And God says, no, you know, I put it in our hearts. You disciple people to experience the living God and have a living relationship with Him. You know, not just to know things in their head, but to truly see Him and know Him in a way that transforms our life. And I would tell you and challenge you, if you see yourself not changing, do be concerned. And do get help to realign your life in the presence of God, because God loves you and He wants to change you and He wants to help you. You know, there is no qualms on His part. He has torn the curtain apart. He says, come. And He can do what He has promised. And He has laid this out. But don't retreat in defeat. Don't walk like them, confused and wondering what really had took place. I remember one specific conversation with one person, you know, and the person was telling me, okay, close to my generation. So we were the ones who started in the 80s, you know, had a lot of the charismatic experiences and Pentecostal movement in Malaysia. So she said, I go to church, they'll bring one speaker, he'll come, he'll prophesy over me. Then after one more month, another speaker, another prophecy, okay? And they kept going, prophecy after another, and I would just listen, I'll receive. And after 30 years, I'm doing nothing. I'm stuck. I just go to church, but I'm afraid, I'm lost, and I don't know what God has for me. So it's sad how, you know, the relationship with Christ has been reduced to such a thing, but not what it is meant to be. That you don't need prophets to access Jesus Christ. Yes, they have a role, but their role is to tell you that you can go to Him yourself and listen and learn from Him. Their role is to tell you that the Word grants you access into the heart of God, which brings you into the presence of God. You don't need a prophetic word to know Christ. The cross has made a way. And that's the thing. You know, intimacy. It's not about saying Jesus Christ is risen. It's saying, do we know the risen Jesus? Is He alive to us? Is He part of our lives? Do we partake of the resurrection power and the grace that comes because Jesus has risen from the dead? Are we being transformed by His likeness? Are we experiencing His goodness? That's what it is about. To sit at the table. And when the bread is broken, perhaps the bread can mean the word. It can mean the body of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ broken before us. Then we recognize that He is with us. And church, do we need this in such a time? I would challenge and invite you all, as a church, we really need Jesus. Let's go to Him. Let's believe in what He has done. Let us believe that He is now standing next to us, perhaps as a stranger. But if we take the trouble to enter that conversation with Him, we will experience Him as our risen Lord. Let us rise as we look to God in prayer. just invite you to look to Jesus Christ, to call on his name, to accept his invitation to come. The word is that Jesus says, I am accessible. I do want you close to me. It's only when you come close to me, you will find rest. You will find comfort. You will know my heart that is gentle and lowly. Only in my presence, you will come and understand the grace, the life given to you. Let's look to the Lord. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Let's sing the song, Amazing Love, and may the Lord just draw you into his good presence. Forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Forgiven because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you my King. Jesus, you are my King. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. You are King. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Your amazing love fills us, changes everything, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we come to you, oh Lord. Open our eyes to your glory. Please open our hearts to your word, dear Lord. Let us believe once again that your word brings us life, dear God. Let us believe, Lord, no matter what our situation, our lack, that you are sufficient for us, dear God. In you there is hope, there is life, there is healing. But more than that, dear God, let us see the glory of the cross in a way that we will embrace the cross and truly rejoice that this is the path, Lord, that you have given us, dear God, to follow you in your love, in your grace. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride. Forgive us, Lord, for holding on to the world, holding on to our comfort, our wisdom and understanding, dear God. Set us free so that we may come, Lord, into your presence to receive your love, your grace, dear God. Dear Lord, let us know deep within our hearts that you love us, dear Lord. And let us aspire to understand that love, Lord, so that we can know you, Lord. Let us receive that love so that we can see, so that we can live, Lord, in your grace. We thank you, dear Lord. As we stand before you, let us be mindful of your victory, that you have risen from the dead, and you are Lord, and you're above every power, dominion, principalities. You have conquered it all, dear Lord, even death. And nothing can separate us from your love, dear God. You are with your people. Let us walk in your love. Let us rest under your wings, Lord. We thank you. Bless your people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.